Welcome, luxury enthusiasts, to the Luxury Travelers Podcast, hosted by Rodney George. The ultimate passport to opulent destinations, extravagant experiences, and unparalleled indulgence. Whether one is a seasoned jet-setter or daydreaming of the next lavish getaway, the Luxury Travelers Podcast has it all covered. So buckle up and prepare for a journey into the lap of luxury. Now, your host.
Well, good afternoon, good evening, or maybe good morning, whatever time you're finally getting a chance to watch this podcast. Well, you dropped into the right place today, because my guest today is one of those special individuals I've ever had the chance to meet, not just in the travel industry, but in life. His name is Claudius Dochakal. And Claudius is the Vice President of Global Deployments for a little company down under called Scenic and Emerald Cruises. Claudius is going to tell us all about what they've got that's new and exciting. And I'm telling you, folks, sitting down with Claudius and a couple of glasses of wine on a summer evening and picking his brain, the man just knows it all. So, Claudius, welcome to the show. We're so glad you're here. And, folks, hang on to your hat here, because you're going to get a lesson in global geography here.
Thank you very much, Rodney. And I also want to take this opportunity, since you brought it up, to thank you for the good wine you always provide when we get together. So thank you very much. And I work for a little company down under. At the same time, I'm here in the wonderful Midwest.
Yeah, I wish you'd get your Cardinals back on track. I'm just 1 year after another here. They're still struggling.
Still struggling in the new season as well. But anyway.
I want to tell these people a little background about Claudius. Claudius has been involved in ship deployments with a number of luxury providers in the travel industry over the last 40 years. Can you believe that? 40 years.
Wow. Great, yeah.
Yeah, me too. And mine's receding faster than yours, it looks like. But Claudius has a nickname that's kind of followed him throughout the industry over the years. The CEO of one of these brands gave him the nickname of Google a number of years back. And I think it's because you can ask Claudius almost anything you want to about the world, and he doesn't have to go to the computer. He can just answer it.
Well, thank you, Rodney. But I have to admit that the computer, you know, is pretty handy these days. You know, you see the library there behind me. I hardly look at those books anymore. I should just get them recycled, because, you know, you can find pretty much everything on the computer now, whether you like it or not.
Yeah, exactly. And that is a source, that is a go-to source that, well, let's just say you and I didn't have back in our school days, right?
Nope.
So, Claudius, tell us a little bit about what you're doing at Scenic and what Scenic is doing. I mean, I saw you have a new yacht that just got christened. So if I'm a novice and I don't know anything about Scenic, what would you tell the listeners about Scenic, in particular ocean, since that's the area of the company that you're focused in?
We are a privately owned Australian company, as we now twice said. And we have operating offices, not just in Australia, but we have a major office in Switzerland, near Zurich. We have an office in Manchester, United Kingdom. We have two offices in Canada, plus an office in Hollywood, Florida. So although we are fairly unknown still in the U.S., we are actually a pretty big company that started out as a motor coach touring operation in Australia. And then our owner, Mr. Glenn Moroney, got into the river business. And we actually own and operate 23 river ships between the two brands, Scenic and Emerald. And we operate those in Europe, all over Europe, from the Douro, Portugal, Rhine, Main, Danube Canal, but also in Cambodia and in Vietnam, as well as Egypt. And then, so a few years ago, he wanted to expand and decided to build some ocean-going ships. We have two very beautiful yachts. I really want to call them yachts, because when you look at the pictures, that's exactly what they look like. They have a maximum of 114 suites. The first one was launched in 2019, just shortly before COVID. So obviously that was a big hit. And we launched the second Eclipse, which is identical to the first one, in 2023, so last year. And in addition, we launched a even smaller super yacht with only 50 suites under the Emerald brand. So that's a maximum of 100 passengers. And we launched that in 2022, the first one, and an identical one last year. Plus, we are now, as you mentioned, we are introducing a slightly larger one with 128 passengers in April of 2026. I think the beautiful thing about our yachts, they're quite different from what you see in the competition. Not only are they a small capacity when it comes to guests, but they have massive space, large suites. And when you see our vessels in port, and you know, if your listeners want to go on our website, most people, when they see them, they don't in port, they don't think of cruise ships. They think those are privately owned yachts.
And to some extent, they are privately owned yachts, but they carry fare-paying passengers. And you're exactly right. I mean, I don't know if the word sexy comes to mind. And we're going to lay some photographs in here while you're talking. But I think those new Emerald yachts are just downright sexy looking.
Yeah, they are, as I said, they are quite contemporary inside and out, and lots of space. Just to give you an example, on our scenic yachts that carry a maximum of 228 guests, we have 9 different restaurants. So, you know, we have plenty of wonderful options. In addition, our scenic yachts carry a 6-seat electric submersible. And in addition, we have 2 6-seat helicopters. And they are extremely popular, and we're the only vessel out there that has the helicopters and the submersible. And on top of that, we have a fantastic marina in the aft that allows guests to swim off right off the boat when we are somewhere in the ocean. And we have kayaks and we have Zodiacs. So we're a really pretty fun, exciting, active company. Or you can just lay out on deck and do nothing at all.
Well, I was on the Scenic Eclipse 1 about 3 years ago with a group of about 40 clients. And I think darn near everybody experienced the helicopter. We were doing a cruise in the Greek Isles, and that was just spectacular to go up and get in the helicopter, take a little short 10-minute view of Santorini from way up high. But yeah, spectacular is a good word for that.
I think what makes it so unique is that, you know, when you go on a normal cruise, most ships, you go on a cruise and you sit on the boat, you look outside. But with us, you can soar above the water and you can also go underwater. So we offer like 3 different levels of experiences on the ground, like everybody on the water, like everybody else, but then also fly over and also go underneath. And particularly, we spent the winter season always in Antarctica. And I can tell you, as a big fan of Antarctica, there's nothing like experiencing Antarctica from high above, because the scenery there is just spectacular. And then you get in a Zodiac and you're right between the icebergs. And then you know, the next day you get in the submersible and go 100, 200 feet down below.
So these yachts are small enough that you can go places that that the bigger cruise ships can't go to. Why don't you talk about that for a second?
Yeah, and we do some pretty unique things by going. The advantage is that what we often do is we anchor off these little towns like Portofino or Mykonos, and then our ship-to-shore boats, or tenders, as they call it in some places, they take guests right into the heart of the town. And that, of course, makes it very, very convenient when compared to the large ships. And I'm talking about now the ones that carry 3,000, 4,000, 5,000 passengers. You know, they tend to dock quite a distance in a commercial port. You have to jump on a bus, right? You know, anywhere from 10 to 30 minutes or more, even in some cases, to town. And it's just a time saver. It gives you more time in port. And in addition, we also tend to spend a lot of time in port. We generally speaking arrive in the morning, and as long as the destination warrants it, we stay until, you know, 6-7 in the evening or later or overnight, sometimes right. A second day. So it really depends on the destination.
Are you doing anything in the South Pacific with any of these new ships?
Interesting you mentioned that, and we did not discuss this beforehand, but Eclipse 2, our brand new ship now that was launched last year is arriving in Sydney, Australia right now as we speak. And she's going to get a lot of coverage in Sydney at Sydney Harbour. She's going to be docked there right by the Harbour Bridge. And so there's going to be a lot of TV actions in the next few days. And she's going to be down there all the way through February of 2026. So lots of sailings around Australia, Japan, Korea, Indonesia, Borneo. So she does some really fun, exciting things now. And as I said, all of Australia and particularly New Zealand, which is a big crowd favorite.
Oh, yeah. Well, is she going to come up into the Societies and the Marquesas and all that on the way to someplace else?
Yeah, she just did that, actually. She crossed from South America over to Australia via those islands you just mentioned. And she's going back there in February of 26. When she goes the other direction, she's going to go from Australia through the Marquesas, through French Polynesia, all the way to the Panama Canal.
Oh, wow. Wow. Well, this Claudius is, as for a good part of his career, specialized in putting together incredible itineraries. And when I tell you that he knows a lot about the various ports around the world, I'm not kidding. I mean, we've had some very interesting conversations. So what would you tell the average person out there that's looking at Scenic as far as what does Claudius Dochacal add to the experience with your knowledge of the various ports around the world?
One of the things I pride myself on, I have been to just about every place our ships cruise. And having been in this business for the decades you mentioned, unfortunately, you have to give it away. Thanks, Rodney. But I travel a lot extensively, and being in this business for so long and dealing with English-speaking customers from Australia, United Kingdom, and Canada, and the U.S., of course, I pretty much know what our customers like and dislike. So as I travel through these countries, I'm pretty quick to figure out how to package something unique and differently and just give guests a great experience. And I think the one thing I always try to do is I try to keep some what I call, refer to as marquee ports, which are places that people know have been, like Barcelona or Monte Carlo or, you know, Mykonos. But I also mix in some unusual places that people may not have heard of. However, I know once they've been there and experienced it, they usually often come back and say, you know what? I'm glad I saw Santorini. I'm glad I went to Mykonos. But that place you visit, you took us to Paros or Patmos or Santa Margarita, I actually liked those better because they weren't so touristic.
And the number of people thus is significantly less. So you've got a little more elbow room and you're seeing ports that on a big ship you would never get a chance to see.
I think the other great thing is that you arrive at these destinations, particularly the smaller ones, and you go ashore there, and there's always only just a handful of people because we don't carry more than 228, where if you travel with a big ship, you go ashore, and, you know, quite often there's 15, 20 buses waiting, and each bus has 50 people on it, and it's just a whole different experience. So you much more blend in with the locals versus arriving like a landing force on D-Day with the big ships.
Well, as I said, you know, if you get on some of these tours, you spend... If you've got a seven-day tour, you're only really touring for about 3.5 to 4 days because the rest of the time is getting on and off of motor coaches.
And then the other thing we do is, depending on the itinerary destination, particularly in the Mediterranean, we have a port every day. So, you know, we don't do too many sea days because people, your guests usually buy the ports. They count the ports and not the sea days. Of course, once guests are on board and they go sightseeing and touring and shopping and restaurants, then I say, well, yeah, now that I think about it, a sea day would be nice, you know.
It is. I look forward to the sea days, but I also, you know, you're right. You typically decide on an itinerary based on, does it have the ports that I really want to see on it? But the sea day is a welcome reprieve from time to time, especially if you're on an extended cruise, you know, of 14 days, but 21 days longer than that. I have a lot of clients that over the years have done the around the world cruises, and they live for sea days just to take a breather because they're somewhere different every day. And when you're going gone for 180 days, you need some timeouts along the way.
On the longer cruises, we have those sea days, and I always get a lot of pressure from our spa because we have this fantastic spa on board. I mean, really amazing spa. And, you know, they need to create their revenue, so I would applaud you to put in some sea days, will you?
And did you?
Yeah. So we do have the sea days, and, you know, there's something for everybody. I think the other thing we do is, which I started originally with another line, in which I've taken brought along to this company, is I create a lot of itineraries that someone can combine with the week before or the week after. So in other words, you could take 2, 3, 4, 5 cruises back to back and not repeat a port. And so it allows you to also not only expand your map, your horizon, your trip, but you also get a discount by booking multiple cruises. And when you're not repeating a port, that's a pretty sweet deal. And you can decide to go 7, 14, 21, you know, however many nights you want.
Well, that's interesting because, a lot of people go, you know, well, my rule of thumb is I'm not going to fly across the pond for less than 10 to 14 days. But we're talking to them about a 7-day cruise. So by bundling it together with the one before or after it, then it becomes much more cost effective to do that. Same thing if you're going to Australia. I mean, who wants to go to Australia for 7 days? You know, that's a killer airplane ride, but you got to spend more time on the ground there once you finally get there.
Yeah, plus, you know, having these sort of our main markets, I think I said it before, Australians, Brits, Europeans, as well as Canadians and Americans, they're all English speaking, but they have different preferable destinations and durations, particularly Australians. They don't go anywhere for less than 3 weeks. So we have to sort of cater to the Australians. But then also you will find a lot of Americans, they will fly to the Mediterranean for a week's holiday. So, you know, sort of trying to satisfy everybody, that's how we're sort of doing these back-to-back options. So you combine the different durations and make it as long or as short as you wish.
Well, it's not hard to string together 2 to 3 weeks in Australia and New Zealand, though.
Yeah, and believe it or not, we were seeing it in the Caribbean. Because we basically run 7-night itineraries, but I've built 3 different 7-night itineraries, and you can combine them to 14 or 21 days. And actually, again, our European clients and Australian clients, they love that idea, where if you're from North America, it's okay to fly on a 1-week cruise in the Caribbean via Puerto Rico somewhere or Barbados.
You know, your ships are more yacht-like, and I know sometimes on the bigger cruise ships that, as you grow closer to the end of the trip, if that next segment's not full, they often offer some incentives just to stay on board for another 7 to 10 days. Are you guys able to do that with the smaller ships that you have?
We can. I will tell you, and I'm sincere when I say that. We, as I mentioned earlier, on the Emerald ships, we only have 50 suites, and they sell out pretty quickly. We're pretty chock-a-blocked in the Mediterranean. Caribbean next season is also looking quite full. On Scenic, we have, with 114 suites, we have a little bit more options to do that. But we really try to encourage people to book this up front, these back-to-back cruises, because then they also get a nice discount up front. And that way they can also, the important thing is you can then maintain the same suite over the first, second, third, whatever cruises you do. You don't have to change suites simply because the suite you booked on this week may not be available next week.
Gotcha. Now, you talked briefly about the new Emerald Yacht. How do you pronounce
Kaya,
it? Kaya. Now, that's a little bigger than the precursors. I think it mentions 128 passengers. But talk a little bit about that crew ratio, because you're bumping up against some of the big names in luxury there with your guest-to-staff ratio.
Yeah, we consider ourselves luxury, definitely. So we have about 0.8 crew members for every guest. So, you know, almost one-to-one, but and especially when we are in Antarctica. So, for example, in Antarctica, we limit ourselves to only 200 passengers because we are a member of IATO, which is the International Association of Antarctic Tour Operators. And we have some very strict guidelines that protect the ecology of the whole region down under. And one of the guidelines is that if you want to be part of that organization, you have to limit yourself to 200 passengers in Antarctica. So what we do then is we take those remaining 14 beds and we actually add additional staff in the terms of lecturers and expedition staff. People that know about the krill, people that know about the birds, the wildlife in general. So we actually load up on extra staff in Antarctica, which is, to me, one of the most amazing destinations I've been traveling to.
You know, it is, and it's I'm going to check that off my bucket list finally in January of next year. But a little bit about Antarctica. I was looking at some of our agency, and we're one of the top 5-6 agencies at Cruise Planners out of almost 3,000 franchises. But Antarctica is rapidly moving up. It's number 3 or 4 as far as, I mean, Europe's going to always be number 1. We do a ton of Africa business, but Antarctica is creeping up there and quickly becoming our number 3 destination in the world.
Yeah, I'm biased. I love the place. I mentioned that already. But and I'm talking about, I've been every continent, you know, I've probably been to about 170, 180 countries or something like that. And it's definitely on the very, very top of my list. I've been going there since the very beginning with a company called Lindblad that still exists and pioneers down there. I think I was down there the first time in 1988, I believe. And I've been back many times since. And, you know, each time I said to my wife, who, you know, Kathy, why don't you come along? She said, no, why do I want to go there? So finally, I think it was in 2016, I managed to get her on the trip. She came down there with me to Antarctica finally. And now she wants to go back every year because it's so spectacular. And she is also a person that is extremely well-traveled. And it's, if you've never been down there and you love nature, wildlife, really good fresh air, it's the most amazing place. And I've been talking about Antarctica, as I said, since 1988. And I talked to a lot of people and I've never met anybody that actually went down there after I told them and that came back unhappy, because it is hard to believe a place like this still exists to this day.
Yeah, it is. Now, you guys sail out of Ushuaia for that, right?
Correct. And what we also do, we sail out of Ushuaia, like most of the operators. But we also have, for the next 2 upcoming winters, we also sail to Antarctica from Australia and New Zealand. And that's by the, we go down there to what's known as the Ross Sea. And that is an amazing trip. It's a bit longer. Because it is further, but I would say if you've never been to Antarctica, you probably want to sail first to Antarctica from Ushuaia, from the southernmost town in South America, sail down to Antarctica. And then if you're really adventurous, you take the one to the Ross Sea, which is almost like an explorer type of trip. But as I said, if you go to Antarctica, the one thing I will say is that allow enough time. You know, there's a lot of companies now that offer 5-6 day trips via flying and things like this. There is nothing like giving the destination the time it really deserves, because what happens is, it's, first of all, it's not as cold and rough as people think it is. It just has a bad reputation, because once you're down there in Antarctica, you basically sail between icebergs, ice, islands, and the Antarctic Peninsula, so it's quite well protected. But the reason you want to have time down there is because you want to really explore the wildlife, the bays, the caves. And what happens is, once in a while, you do get a overcast day, or you get a cloudy day, and so you want to have buffer days to see as much as possible. So I would say the minimum you should do is 11-12 nights. And particularly if you love wildlife, you should also include South Georgia Island. And
oh, yes.
Because South Georgia is like, it's just like no place on the world. When you see 10,000 emperor penguins and thousands and fur seals, and it is just breathtaking. So, you know, if you go once, and most people probably only go once, make it count and book there at least 12 nights. and maybe even more with South Georgia. And particularly for us, where we have all these other options, you not just do landings on the continent, on the islands, but you do Zodiac cruises. You have time for kayaking. You need time for the helicopters and the submersible. So there's so many things to do that keep you active. Plus, we have some great lectures. And so people are amazed how busy they can be down there when they never visit a town outside of the Triad.
It is amazing how you can stay busy when you would think there's absolutely nothing to do. There's so much to do and so much to see. And the ships today are a lot more equipped for a crossing of the Francis Drake Passage with the stabilization systems and combined with the speed of some of these newer, sleeker yachts as well. So you can get across those areas that you hear about from time to time with a little more stability and quite a bit faster.
Yeah, and since our vessels are brand new, as I said, they were launched 2019 and 2023, we have state-of-the-art, really big stabilizers that are normally found on much larger vessels. So we have that. The other thing we have something called DP, which is known as Dynamic Positioning System, and that also allows us to remain. So instead of dropping an anchor and sitting there, we don't have to drop an anchor. That system, through computers and satellites, manages the engines and the steering so we can stay in the same place without dropping an anchor, let's say, on a reef or something. So that is a huge advantage. And just having the latest equipment. And then the other thing we do is I allow a little bit of buffer, extra time, so in case the Drake Passage happens to be rough, we have time to sit it out, wait it out. Not like we're not on a schedule where you have to really run full power all the time. And that makes a big difference. But again, the Drake Passage, it has a reputation, and on some days it's deserved, but on other days it's also called the Drake Lake. And I've been across both situations where it was rough some days, but also when it was like a lake. So, you know, you're taking a chance. But I think the important thing to know is that day and a half sort of that takes to go down there is really taken up with lectures, because when our guests come on board in Ushuaia, as you said, you know, we give them lectures. We have a fabulous theater with really comfy chairs that recline. I have a cup holder, and you can fall asleep in those if you wish. But we have lectures with our helicopter pilots, our submersible pilots. We show you how to go kayaking, because a lot of our passengers have never been in a kayak. And so we make you really comfortable over those 1.5 days. So when you get down there, you are already mentally ready to go. Yeah, thank you.
Hey, as we wrap up here, because our time together is coming to a close, for a man who's been everywhere multiple times, if you can get there, especially if you can get there by a ship of some kind, what are the top three places that somebody as well-traveled as you are, what's your top three on the whole planet?
Ah, boy, that's a tough one. Now, since I'm in the cruise business, I'm not going to talk about land trips and safaris, which are definitely up there. But I would say, you heard me talk about the Antarctica. That's definitely something everyone should see, because it is so uniquely special. I would say then, I still love the Mediterranean as many times as you and I have been there. I think it's spectacular, especially when you go to the smaller little towns like we do and the lesser known islands. It's a tough one. Believe it or not, my wife and I love going to the Caribbean every year, in usually January. And again, we go to the small islands. We don't go to where the big ships are. But again, my wife loves the Baltic and the Norwegian fjords. So, you know, there's just a lot to choose from these days. And I think you should do them all.
And I totally agree with you. I always go back to my good friend, Philip Randall, who's a gerontologist. I met him probably 40 years ago. He was speaking at an industry meeting in my previous career in the financial services industry. And he always said, enjoy yourself, Rodney. It's later than you think.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know.
And it is.
It is. And it's the thing is, I've been to some pretty wild places. I believe it or not, I've been to Somalia, I've been to Sudan, Yemen, you know, which is in the news these days. I've been to some really wild places, and there is always something to see, something to experience. It may not always be your cup of tea, but it's always good to see for yourself and what a place is really like, rather than what you hear through the news, which is quite often distorted.
Most often distorted, but that's a subject for another day. Yeah. You know, and I would close with this. If you're close to our ages, and you're not about creating memories for your children and grandchildren to cling on to long after you're gone, you need to call me and we need to talk about that, because memories are what this is all about. And the memories that you have, no one can ever take them away from you. They can't take them away from your children. They can't take them away from your grandchildren. So get out there and start creating some memories. And if this type of cruising on some really, really specialized, small yacht-like ships is something you're looking forward to, which a lot of people are. They don't want to do the mega ships anymore. They want, you know, quiet sophistication, I guess.
If you just allow me a few more words, Rodney, I
sure
agree more with you. You know, we travel with our kids, and we have a 6-year-old granddaughter. She's done 3 cruises already. So, you know, I definitely, and I couldn't agree with you more. Create those memories with your kids and your grandkids on a cruise, and don't think you just have to go on the big ships, because these small ships are a lot of fun and you get a lot of attention.
You really do. Well, Claudius, as you well know, you and I could probably sit here and talk for another 5 or 6 hours, but they asked us to keep it to 30 minutes, so we're going to wrap up here. I guarantee you I'm going to come back and ask you to do this again, because we just added a feature to our podcast site where people can go there, click on a microphone, and record their questions that they have for you. And so we'll announce several weeks in advance that you're coming on so that they can get their questions to you. Because trust me, folks, I've been around this business ever since I retired at age 55. So that's I'm going on 17 years in this industry. Claudius is going on 40 years in this industry. And I'd just love for y'all to have the ability to pick his brain, because there's a lot of stuff up there to pick around.
Yeah, thank you. And then, if anybody wants to book, they should book with somebody like you who's experienced in the field and has done many, many cruises. I think that's so important that talking to somebody that knows the business.
113 is where I'm at. You're probably way more than that. Claudius, tell Kathy I said hello, and thank you so much for being here with us. Again, if you want to know more about Scenic, all you have to do is give us a call, because all of our agents love to talk Scenic and Emerald Cruises with you.
Thank you very much, Ronnie. Appreciate the opportunity.
Bye for now.
Bye-bye. Thank you.
Thanks for joining us on the Luxury Travelers Podcast. For more information, head on over to luxurytravelerspodcast.com to connect with our team or leave us a message. Until next time, safe travels and savor the extraordinary.